Hey everybody, I realize I just pushed out a couple of podcasts in the last couple of days, and they were with Mike Haynes and I, and you know, we like to record those things, but man, there's so much that's happened today on this Friday, and I haven't done a Tiny Biscuits in a while. This isn't really going to be tiny, but there'll be biscuits, because there is plenty to digest about what's going on today in the National Hockey League. So stay tuned. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Coyotes. We're going to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. And, of course, we have to comment on the passing of Guy Lafleur. Rest in peace, Guy, as he passed away at the age of 70 years old. So plenty to talk about. We'll be right back with this special Tiny Biscuits. I guess it's just a Biscuits Talking Puck Podcast. All right, let's get into it. Plenty to cover. I am going to jump straight to the Vegas Golden Knights. We're not screwing around today. We're not screwing around. We're getting right into the news, and we are going to knock this stuff out of the park. What is going on in Vegas? Oh, my goodness. What is going on? You probably know, if you've been following the podcast for a while, or if you're new, by the way, welcome. Thank you. Please subscribe while you're here. But I've been covering the Vegas Golden Knights for the last several years. And for different outlets, and I've been watching this team very closely. Haven't been as closely associated this year. However, it's hard to ignore what's going on, especially just the cluster that happened just today. So let me catch you up in case you haven't heard. Pete DeBoer, the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, has been hammering on Robin Leonard earlier this week, talking about giving up a soft goal and, you know, kind of coming down on Leonard, saying we're paying him a lot of money to start these games and just making comments that were very disparaging to the goaltender. Look, Leonard's up and down. His play is here and there, but he fights the mental as much as the physical, and we know this. And DeBoer pretty much ruined Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas. As soon as DeBoer got there, let me set your wayback machine. DeBoer got to Vegas and immediately decided he didn't like Marc-Andre Fleury. Now, Fleury saved DeBoer's bacon not once but twice in the playoffs because Leonard's battled injuries, don't get me wrong, but then DeBoer wanted him gone. Leonard all of a sudden comes in a trade deadline deal, signs a big five-year, $5 million AAV contract. But don't you have Marc-Andre Fleury there for $7 million? Yes, that's also why I think General Manager Kelly McCrimmon is also part of the problem here. We'll get to that, but we'll come back to McCrimmon. For now, let's focus on DeBoer. Really came in and clearly did not like Fleury from day one. Eventually got Fleury traded. Run out of town. He ended up in Chicago and now with Minnesota. And he's happy and he's playing and he's on a great team. And this year, the Golden Knights have been battling and beset by injuries, but they've also been hamstrung by cap issues. And Leonard's contract is not the only problem. And the cap management has been terrible. I guess we can come in and bring McCrimmon along for this ride, too. It's been absolutely horrific. They have done such a horrible, horrible job with contracts in the last several seasons. And the Golden Knights are paying for it. Chicago, at least, won 3 Stanley Cups and then paid the piper. But they mortgaged everything to win those cups, and they won 3 of them. Vegas put itself in George McPhee did a great job to set this team up. Then he got bumped aside, depending on who you believe. He was pushed out or suggested to move or whatever to a different spot in the organization. McCrimmon comes in. McCrimmon has done nothing but saddle this team with bad deals and has made some bad personnel decisions. He's traded away a lot of their prospects. They've been very impatient with their prospects. Now they're paying the price because guess what? The Golden Knights could use the most inexpensive players who can fill in and are NHL capable. But they've traded them all. They traded Nick Suzuki. They traded Peyton Krebs. Cody Glass probably not going to be what I had hoped he would be. I still like Glass. I think he has upside. But he's not going to be as impactful as a Krebs or a Suzuki. But, you know, you're signing these deals and just kind of handing out money. Look, do I think they needed to retain some of these key players? Yes, but you also didn't need to go so crazy on Alex Pietrangelo. Now, Pietrangelo's been their best defensive player, but you already had Shea Theodore making a lot of money, and you had Fleury, and you had Leonard's contract, and then you had Pacioretty's deal, and you had Mark Stone's deal, and now you traded for Jack Eichel's deal, and oh, by the way, don't forget, Riley Smith is making $5 million, and you got Marchessault, and you can't pay everybody. You can't. And the Golden Knights have done just such a terrible job at managing all this. And then DeBoer comes in, ruins one goalie, ships him out on a rail, then decides he's going to jump on the next goaltender. Logan Thompson is a stud. He is a star in the making. I hope DeBoer doesn't ruin him too. I think Robin Lehner is a good goaltender. I never liked the 5-year deal for Lehner. As much of that has to do with the timing of it, overlapping with Fleury's deal as anything else. But also I felt like Lehner has been inconsistent throughout his career, and they took a gamble on him being a starter, which clearly is not working out. So let's fast forward to today, before I get too far away from my point. And after, DeBoer's been bagging on Lehner, it's announced that Leonard's going to have season-ending knee surgery. He's going on long-term IR. So we find out maybe it was physical, that Lehner was trying to battle through this knee injury after he got pulled, making 12 of 13 saves. Now, the goal that went in was a bit of a leaker, but that happens. That happens. So he gets pulled after one period, and DeBoer talks about, well, the team was down, the guys don't believe they're this, they're that. He's destroying the room, too. It's unbelievable how this is getting out of hand. And then, so Lehner, the announcement's made he's going to have knee surgery, and then at his media availability today, Pete DeBoer's asked about it and says, not to my knowledge. I don't think he's having knee surgery. What? What is going on with the internal communication of this team? DeBoer said he expected Lehner to practice tomorrow and start on Sunday. What is going on? This is an NHL team, right? This is unbelievable. I've spent most of my life, not only as a broadcaster, but also doing PR and communications, and I can't believe the lack of communication in the Golden Knights organization. This is mind-blowing. Wow, I can't believe they're not on the same page. I don't even think they're reading the same book. So, I mean, I hate to say it because, having covered this team, rooting for these guys, I'd like to see them have some success. But I think not only are they so far away from success now, but it's going to be a rebuild with a lot of expensive contracts. And if it were my team, which clearly it's not, I would be making some big time changes. I would be making changes up top. I would be looking for a new GM. I'd be looking for a new head coach, because the culture, at least from the outside looking in, the culture appears to be broken. And that's a problem for the Vegas Golden Knights. All right, let's move on to our next topic here. And I'll tell you what, we'll do that on the other side of the break. Right back with more of the Tiny Biscuits here on the Talking Puck Podcast. Here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now, back to the show. All right, let's jump over to the Arizona Coyotes. Welcome back. Please don't forget to subscribe and like the podcast. And by the way, don't forget, we are streaming live every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Talking Puck TV, myself, Mike Haynes, a couple of veteran NHL voices. We love to talk hockey, and we have a lot of fun doing it, so please join us. And we took a week off for Easter. I'll be back on Sunday night. I know Mike cannot make this show, but I will be there, so looking forward to talking some more things going on. And I do want to mention what's going on with the Arizona Coyotes. Well, We don't really know that either. So the Coyotes are scheduled to play in the Arizona State University complex next year for 3, if not possibly 4 years. Less than 5,000 fans a game. I know that 5,000 number is being thrown around. It's not going to be 5,000. It's going to be more like 4,100 actual seats. And they announced their ticket prices earlier this week, and they were eye-watering. Eye-watering. I think the average season ticket price was $159. The cheapest season ticket price, $89 a game. I realized there's only 13 rows, and there's 19 of 22 usable suites. They got to make their money somehow. Because they're not going to have the Coyote logo at center ice. The pitchfork is going to be there. They are not going to have the advertising in that building. That stays with ASU. They also are behind on the completion of their annex. I don't know how they're going to get that done in time for the season. I know you can build all year in the desert, but they're going to have to build well into the winter. I don't know how that's going to settle itself. But that said, Tempe was supposed to vote, the city of Tempe was supposed to vote last week on the arena proposal. Instead of either shooting it down or approving it, they tabled it, which means they're putting it off. Which means that puts more pressure on the NHL and the Coyotes to figure something out. Then today, there's a new study that comes out, and this is as of ABC 15 in Phoenix, has a report talking about the impact, a study on the impact of what could happen to Sky Harbor International Airport if Tempe allows the Coyotes to build their proposed arena. It's going to be an entertainment district. So, you know, there's going to be shops, hotels, office buildings, luxury apartments, restaurants, the whole nine yards. But Phoenix officials are saying, according to this report, the airport could lose $21.5 million every year during the construction, which is going to last a couple of years. And they're projecting out the larger Phoenix economy could lose $264 million a year. Oh, my. That is not something that really looks good for the Coyotes' case. I feel like what's going to happen here, and I actually talked about this on the Discord. If you join our Talking Puck Discord, by the way, which the link is in my Twitter bio. If you follow me on Twitter, at Callahan on Air, there is a link for the Discord. But what I put there was some kind of information about it. But what I think is going to happen is Tempe's not going to vote. They're going to push it off. The NHL is going to get antsy. And they're going to want something resolved. They want it resolved now, obviously. Even though Gary Bettman has said they're okay with a team being in a 5,000-seat arena, or, again, 4,100, I don't know. I think the optics of that are bad, but of course the point is, and Bettman says, well, as long as it's temporary, that's fine. I don't know if it's going to be temporary. And by that, I mean, I don't know if it leads to another building on the east side of Phoenix. I don't see how, if the Coyotes are married to Tempe and they're not considering any other place, or maybe they just don't have any other options. I don't know. I don't think it looks very good for the Coyotes right now. And I hate to say that. And I'd hate to see anybody lose their team. But the Coyotes have kind of hamstrung themselves. So that's not great. And that's a very, very difficult situation for them to be in. I do want to talk about Guy Lafleur. Lafleur passing away. Had a tough battle with cancer. Passed away at the age of 70. And, you know, just plenty of people sharing their memories and what Lafleur meant to them. Synonymous with the Montreal Canadiens, did play for some other teams, Quebec, when the Nordiques were a thing, and the New York Rangers. And that was, you know, a little bit later, but Lafleur is going to be remembered as one of those guys. And he had that wavy, flowing hair, just skating down the ice like a ball of fire. And that's what I remember for Lafleur. I remember it, you know, never wore a helmet. You didn't have to back in those days. The hair just rippling in the breeze while he made another offensive assault. Just one of the smoothest players I remember watching as a kid growing up. And definitely going to miss a guy like Guy Lafleur. And it's a big blow to the Canadiens organization. You can't stop Father Time. Father Time's undefeated, right? We all know this. But boy, that is going to be something that, you know, is a tough blow for an organization that's having a tough season all the way around. So just, you know, rest in peace to Guy Lafleur, and thoughts and prayers to his family, condolences. And hopefully, you know, there is plenty of fond memories. And spend a couple minutes today, if you're not familiar with Lafleur, even if you are, watch a couple highlights. And just kind of remember, you know, the beauty of skating, passing, shooting, what the game is in its purest form. And it's nice to be reminded of that. Okay, so that kind of sums up where I wanted to go today. There are other things going on in the league right now. You know, Toronto is freaking out a little bit, and I don't blame Maple Leafs fans because they got absolutely punched in the face by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that's going to be a likely first-round playoff matchup. By the way, there's only one first-round playoff matchup that is absolutely set in stone right now before we hit the end of the season, and it's Minnesota-St. Louis. That one cannot change. They will play each other. Who has home ice, we don't know yet. But Colorado has already clinched the Central and then figure it out for the wild card. Boy, if Vegas doesn't make the wild card, ooh. Ooh. But that might be all the excuse you need to go hunting, by the way. So that is set. Other than that, everybody could move a little bit here and there. So some positions are closer to being secure as far as playoff matchups, but that's the only one that's set so far. Just going to be a great first-round series, by the way. I'm really excited for Minnesota-St. Louis. But looking at some of these other teams, Toronto, what's going on there? Carolina stumbled a little bit. They've only won 5 of their last 10, kind of coming back down to earth. The Rangers have caught them. You know, interesting to see what's going to happen there. The Rangers are playing some of their best hockey now, and they've been playing pretty darn good. Chris Kreider, by the way, 50 goals. Nice job. Got 51 the other night as well, as the Rangers look really good right now. Florida continues to be a juggernaut. And it's unbelievable for the Panthers that as of this Friday taping, they've won 12 in a row. They are just on fire. And sometimes, if it were a team making a run through the standings, I'd be worried that they're going to run out of gas right before they hit the playoffs. I don't have that concern with Florida. They've been playing at this elite level all season long. I'm not worried. So we'll see how that one's going to kind of pan itself out there. But I think as we get closer to the playoffs, oh, and don't forget this little tidbit. The NHL has extended the regular season through May 1st because of the postponement of that Winnipeg game from earlier in the season because of that giant snowstorm that rolled through the peg. So the playoffs, I believe, now officially start May 2nd. So it was, the season was supposed to end on April 29th. Now it's ending May 1st. So just, you know, keep that in mind. It's going to be a little bit extra. But you know what? This next 10-day stretch of hockey is going to be fantastic. And really enjoyable if you're a fan of the sport, I think, coming down the stretch to watch, you know, some fascinating stories of teams both in and out of the playoffs. But especially that Western Conference wildcard fight. So keep an eye on that as well. All right, I've gone a little bit longer than I said I was going to even go today, and I knew this was going to be a slightly longer biscuits than normal, but thanks for listening. Don't forget, Mike and I are live on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I think I'm flying solo. Haven't secured a guest host yet, but still working on that. And hopefully we get a chance to talk some more hockey for a long time into the summer here, all the way up through free agency into July. We're going to see what's going to happen there as well. But in the meantime, check out some of the other podcasts, like, follow, and subscribe here. And you can watch us on Twitch, on YouTube, and Facebook Live on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. with Talking Puck TV. Click to follow us over there, and the bell or the notification ringer, whichever platform you happen to be on, that'll let you know when we go live. And just remind you to tune in the show as well. And we always love to take your questions. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. And if you do miss any of the Talking Pucks, we're also on Signal to Noise Radio on Monday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That is stnradio.com. All right, I think I have run out of things to say for now. More to come. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.